welcome to your new life and our new times in what has been labeled as humanity's greatest leap in evolution. Dr. K is here to assist you with holistic tips and tools, clearings and activations for your vibrational upgrade. Dr. Allison J. K. has been working as an energy medicine practitioner for 20 years, having lived in Asia for 10 years to study subtle energy. People refer to Dr. K. as the lightning bolt due to the high voltage of the work she does on behalf of assisting you to thrive in mind, body, and spirit. That is the greatest backdrop to life on planet Earth right now.
We are up for a heck of a show today. This is a really little butterfly just fluttered by. Fantastic. A present moment. Enlightenment. What is it about? And done from not just the yogic perspective, but practically, what does that really mean for us in today's world here in the West, as well as what it meant in the ancient world? How do we actually lighten up now? And what that means is really just lightening up where our density is. And what is density? Well, density is where our old stuff is. Density is where the thickness is. Density is where we're in lockdown. Density is in 10 extra pounds of weight around the middle. Density is in hoarding. Density is in old relationships that we know are needing to shift, and they're not right anymore. And either we shift with that person, there'd be changes in the relationship, or the relationship itself is completed. Jobs, where we're still functioning as this old version of ourselves. What does that mean, this old version of ourselves? This is where the density comes in, y'all. So taking a breath and getting centered and grounded, we're going to go ahead and go into this topic and then have healings, clearings throughout it, and then healings at the end of it, so that we can all have some help in chopping up the density that's so available to be a part of right now. This show's theme is, how do we understand what 2012 really means and work with the energies of 2012? And as you've heard me say many shows now, 2012 is not this year of darkness and this year of pain and suffering and end of the world and mayhem and doom and gloom and catastrophe. What we're seeing is the breaking down of old systems, and that's where there is density, where there is dysfunction, where there is oldness that needs newness. And that's at our individual levels, and it's at our collective level. And my book is all about this, my first book being released. I've actually written a book on this exact topic of today's show from the perspective of how meditation itself helps us to do that and do this, lightening up in what we get access to once we go through the first five levels of the eight limbs of yoga. The power that's available to us, the lightness, the joy, the exuberance that's available to us. And we're going to be getting to all of that today. Right now, what it might seem like is we're living life from the mind. This is the typical day-to-day existence. We've been taught in our culture to develop reason and develop the strength of our reason. And it's a very different paradigm than what goes on in the East. And that can make the cross-cultural relationships, for those of you who are engaged in cross-cultural business relationships or personal relationships, challenging. I remember when I was in Taiwan and we were conducting business, and one of the main ways we were measured as expats, as typically American, sometimes Canadian, sometimes English from England teachers in the by the Chinese administrators, was how light our tone was how lightly we approached our Chinese administrators on the staff with the dean and with the principal that were responsible for getting us the audiovisual equipment, the technology in the classrooms, that we went to. They were the go-to people for everything we needed as teachers in the classroom to deliver our instruction to the students. And there were stories every year. I was informally one of the foreign teachers who was a liaison for the new incoming teachers, and then formally when I was helping with bringing in the WASC accreditation process, and also as department chair with my new English teachers. And every year I would have to talk with the foreign teachers about how to, I mean, they already knew and sensed how to approach the Chinese teachers, but, and administrators, but there was always an incident within the first couple of weeks of school with the mayhem that happens in the beginning of a school year, as well as brand new teachers living in a foreign country and all of the personal stuff with their living arrangements that had to get coordinated. And so I would listen to my dean, who is Chinese, and typically the way that she was informally, but absolutely impacting the teacher's evaluation was how they would come into the office of the Chinese administrators and interact with the Chinese teachers who were also volunteering for the half-time administration position. And if our tone got heavy, if we got frustrated and we allowed ourselves to show that, then that was gauged as or viewed as unprofessional and not one of the more desirable teachers to keep around. So we were commanded by our larger context of living within the Chinese culture to come from a position of light, which meant that we had to come from more, less of our mind and more of our being, more of our, a connection to our presence. And that's very much what we're talking about today, is how do we move beyond our mind, because that's really where the density is locked up. And yeah, it results in overweightness on our body, and it results in a lot of other things that we'll get into. But really what we're talking about is how do we move beyond coming from our mind? Because our mind is what contains the storylines, as we talked about last week with Dane here of Access Consciousness. We've talked about in many shows beforehand. What we have is our personality, what people know us for, what stories we have about ourselves. And we are an extrovert because we've always been told we're good with people. We are a leader because we have charisma. We've always been told that, and it showed up when we took on the leadership positions in high school, then in college, and then in our first jobs, blah, blah, blah. So we have these labels that are put on us, and we function on a day-to-day basis from these classifications that help organize our lives and what we do in this life. And so when we get caught up in coming from the mind and if making a conclusion such as if I am, and these are silent conclusions, it's not like it's the cognitive machinery going at it in our mind that we're aware that we are saying, if I am a leader, then therefore that means I must take on this extra responsibility that just came up in the job. Instead, we just do it because that's what we know our personality to do. That's what we know ourselves to be like. And so we perpetuate, we continue on the same path that we're used to. And there comes a time that we are being asked to change and new ways of doing things comes into our mind with this quieter voice, this insight. Like when we're, for example, if we're somebody who is overweight and we hear, and for us, the approach is get off the sofa, get off the internet, and go out for a walk. Others, it would be don't eat that extra pizza. Others would be shut off the eating at 8 p.m. And we don't listen to it. And we shut down that guidance that slips in quietly. That's more of coming from the mind rather than listening to what's beyond the mind, which is what that guidance would be labeled as. And it connects to the sixth chakra. We're going to be talking about the chakras and a whole bunch of other shows. It's too much of a science, and there's way too much information that I typically communicate in my classes on workshops over a month's time for the beginning level, 1 week, night, a month. And then I go into an advanced level for chakras, 1 week, night, a month. So, I mean, there's a lot of information about the chakras that I can communicate to you guys to help in this year of change and transformation as the old breaks down and gives way to the new. So we're going to be leaving the chakra system aside for today. But what the insight does, that does come in and is connected to the sixth chakra, which is up in between our eyebrows, which is also connected to our intelligence, is if we're on lockdown and we're used to coming from our minds and our cognition and our left linear brain and our organizing brain and our structural brain and our mathematical brain and our thought brain, where one, you know, we look at things from cause and effect and try to figure stuff out, then that doesn't allow us to open up beyond to our hearts hearing quieter insights that come from our intuition that kind of get dropped into our mind or our beings, because we're very much coming from, I must get this done. It's supposed to be this way. And that's all mind stuff. And that keeps us kind of with our, I just had finished with the client today. It's really funny now. I noticed a pattern today. She holds her hands out to the sides of her head. And she does this when she's saying, my thinking is, to describe how she thinks around a topic we're talking about. And finally today I realized that it's because she needs to keep her thoughts protected. She needs to keep her view of the world protected from opening up to anything new. And that's how we frequently are. When we have no techniques, and most of you who are listening to this are opened in some way, otherwise you would just surpass this show. You're looking for something. Most of us don't typically have techniques, though, that will help us actively in our culture open up to beyond our mind. In fact, we're taught and trained to come from our mind. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be getting into tools that will help us get beyond our mind that you can apply in everyday life as well as even looking at some of the choices, like what are some of your food choices? What are some of your shopping choices? What are some of your daily life choices that will help you identify if you're if you're coming at life from the mind overwhelmingly and where you're blocking yourself from lightening up, and some suggestions in your daily life on how to actually create some space and some feeling of expansion and feeling of not choking, not feeling claustrophobic. So get ready for that expansiveness. We'll take a break. Cheers. So when we lighten up, it allows us to have more access to the present, and it allows us to have more access to being. When we're being here and now, we're being. We're less mind, taking us into the past, reviewing, taking us into the future, worrying, projection, and less labeling and concluding and categorizing as we sit and listen. Did you have a judgment of the bells, for example? Did you have a judgment in what I was saying in the beginning segment? That's mind. Mind wants to be busy. It wants a job, as we've talked about on many other shows. And so we'll get to that in just a little bit, about giving it questions from the Access Consciousness tools in order to help open up our universe. But what are we opening up to? What does it mean to live beyond the mind? It means, realistically, y'all, after meditating for 20 years, it means having my mind. Now, I have a PhD, and I started meditating post-bachelor's before master's. It's not that you all of a sudden stop using your intellect. It's not that you all of a sudden just start living on a farm and growing vegetables and get connected with the earth. Instead, it's making the mind serviceable so that we're not running on top of a wild horse without the reins in our hands, and that's the mind, and we're just kind of being tromped along, bopping along in the saddle without any control, following along with our thoughts and labels and conclusions and storylines. Instead, we have the reins in our hands, and we're atop the horse, and the horse is doing what we're asking it to do. The mind becomes serviceable. That's what we're talking about doing, so that we don't use old behaviors that are coming from an old part of ourself that's outdated to block us from changing. Instead, we are open to the insights. We're open to being here in the present moment, which is a way to be able to have more insights. We have more joy. We listen to our own truth more and less of the tribal conditioning of the societal context around us. Right now, what that means is we'll be less inclined to think that there's not enough, that there's a recession, that there's all these systems breaking down, that there's all these reasons to be anxious, that you have to buy this kind of technology and this kind of car in order to keep up. You'll be able to make more decisions based on your own truth. Yeah. And be able to bring down more of a sense of calm and peace and a spiritual connection down into your daily life. It doesn't mean that you all of a sudden discover God or go back to church or go to church more regularly or get involved volunteering at the church or the temple. Frequently, too, a visual that people have of enlightenment is sitting down in meditation and praying, or sitting down in meditation and connecting up with something higher and outside of ourselves. But in fact, it's clearing what is inside of us in our mind stuff, as the Buddhists call it, in order to connect within ourselves to the higher mind beyond the everyday cognitive mind we're used to using for our intellectual power to move forward in life, or not, but the one that labels and judges and concludes. That's all we're talking about. So when we are hoarding, for example, or we're overweight, or we're in an old relationship that has this dynamic that's totally mechanical and totally habitual, and there's no newness, it's stale, and you feel like you're a distance away from each other, or the job where there's no enthusiasm, there's no passion. When you think about it, it's like, oh my God, and you get weighed down, and your energy levels are lower, and you're more tired, and you're more sluggish, so you then need distractions. And you're living in fear, thinking that that's the only choice, that you can only work at that job, and that there's a recession, and that there's so many unemployed, and you should be grateful for this job, and you have to bust ass for this job in order to keep this job, because there's so much, so many other people who they could hire for you, and living in fear. Where are you getting that fear? It could be societal only. It could be you're picking up, on your partner's fear, when in fact it's not yours. You're watching the media, taking that in. You're thinking back and not even realizing it to your parents' worries about money that you grew up with. Moving beyond these storylines and these old ways of perceiving ourselves and the way to be in life is what we're talking about, so we can have genuine freedom. David Hawkins is a scientist who did, he's a Western trained MD, and he has a PhD. And I'm not totally sure what his PhD is in. I think he's a Nobel Prize winner in orthomolecular psychiatry. And so he's at the Institute for Advanced Theoretical Research. And his background is in then using kinesiology to test. And kinesiology is a way of saying muscle testing. So a couple of the different ways we muscle test, I won't go into now, but it's a way of asking the body to tell us what the truth is. If we need a product, we can hold that product in front of us like a supplement and see if our body needs that. If it does, then the muscles will react with a strength. And if it doesn't, then if we don't need it, then the muscles will react with weakness. And there's different ways to test it, by pulling the fingers apart or holding the shoulder out and seeing if it can resist to somebody trying to push it down who's conducting the muscle testing. So it's a way to get beyond the mind to find out what the body's needs are. David Hawkins applied this to consciousness levels, and he says that shame is at the bottom of it. At about a level of 20, he calibrated these to certain numbers. So he has it moving with shame being the lowest, then guilt, then hopelessness, then grief. We're moving up now. Then fear, then desire, then anger, pride, courage. Then we get to neutrality. Then we get to willingness. Then we get to acceptance. And then we get to using reason. A little bit different than what we're used to thinking of reason for, using it for. And then peace. And I'll do that again. Shame is at the lowest. Let me do it from this perspective. If we're walking around in the streets and we see a bum on the streets, a quote-unquote bum, who's not dressed appropriately, who's begging for food, and we react with shame, we're going to see the bum as dirty or disgusting and graceful. If we're coming from guilt, then we'd blame him for his condition. He deserves what he gets. He's probably a lazy welfare cheat. For coming from hopeless, we would think that he is desperate. He's a damning piece of evidence showing that society can't do anything about homelessness. If we're coming from grief, we'll think the man looks tragic, friendless, and forlorn and sad. If we're coming from fear, we'll see him as threatening and that he's a social menace and that maybe we should call the police before he commits some kind of crime. If we're lingering around, typically at a level of coming from desire, he might represent some kind of frustrating problem. Why doesn't somebody do something about all the vets coming back now without jobs, if that's some of the homeless, for example? If we're coming at it from anger, then we'll think the man looks like he could be violent. Or on the other hand, the person viewing him from anger could be furious that such horrible conditions exist in our country today. And then coming up to pride, he could be seen as an embarrassment or lacking the self-respect to better himself. If we're operating from a judgment and a level of courage. We typically operate around courage. We might be motivated to wonder if there's a local homeless shelter and that all he needs is a job and a place to live. If we typically linger around a level of neutrality, then we think the bum looks okay and that he might even be interesting, and we just think, ah, live and let live. After all, he's not hurting anyone. If we approach it from a mental space of willingness, then we might decide to get down and see what we can do to cheer him up. And maybe we'd even be motivated to volunteer some time at a local shelter. If we're coming from a place of acceptance, the man on the corner seems intriguing, and we might think he has an interesting story to tell and that he's there for reasons that we may never understand. If we're at a level of approaching our judgment come from a space of reason, meaning our mental space is frequently operating at around this level, we'll think he's a symptom of the current economic and social malaise, or perhaps he's a good subject for in-depth psychological study. You can hear that. And then moving on up to the higher levels that have been calibrated at higher levels of consciousness, he looks not only interesting, but friendly and then lovable. And then maybe we'd go up and see what his story is. And from peace, from the highest level, he's revealed as our own self, just in a temporary expression of him being homeless. That's an example of moving up the skills of cognition, of mental judgments, of density to lightness in a practical applied way. So shame is the bottom, where we think the bum is dirty and disgusting and disgraceful. Guilt is the next level up from the bottom, where he should be blamed for his condition. He deserves what he gets. He's probably a lazy welfare cheat, all the way up to through acceptance, through reason, where we think that he's just a symptom of our larger societal issues, all the way up to peace, where he's revealed as our own self in a temporary expression, where we see the oneness of everybody. So right below the peace is where we'd see that he's interesting and maybe we could approach him with a story. So you can see the difference in the levels of lightness behind the labels and judgments. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how better to get there. Okay, so in the last segment, you guys were able to see through an example that changes from a dense way of approaching life, from a mind's eye that sees things from a density versus a mind's eye that sees things that's been lightened and worked with. And in the yogic perspective with the eight limbs of yoga, what I know from my fantastic training in India from the Brahmin who was responsible for teaching us the philosophy behind yoga, the yogic sutras written by Patanjali, if we were to approach it from a yogic path, there's eight limbs to yoga, and the first bottom five are all about cleaning out the human personality and the mind stuff. And the postures, the yoga asanas that we do when we go to a class, and preferably not the power yogas, but when we actually go to an Iyengar or Hatha yoga class where we're really spending time in the poses, that's to help us ride the razor's edge between not too sloppily with ourselves, little discipline, and then not too hard on ourselves with perfectionism and tight discipline, but riding that razor's edge of not too tight, not too loose, where we're gaining a sense of self-discipline, but also a love and a connection to our body. And then meditation's included in there, the beginning of a meditation, and then some other stuff that I'm not going to go into now. And then there's this whole second tier of it of the yogic eight limbs, and all the last three levels is just how to access more and more levels of beauty and bliss and inherent vitality and power once we get beyond the mental mind stuff. So Buddhism also talks about every human having a neurotic part of their mind, and the whole focus of meditation is to address those neuroses. And they're called kleshas, where we're attached. So wherever there is what we would say is resistance to change, that's where we're attached. We have some belief that's keeping us clinging to that belief because it provides us some service. So if we see ourselves as wanting, if a place where we get attached and then therefore are reactive, defensive, is when we don't get paid attention to, then that's a klesha for us. And so we'll react with some kind of defense mechanism that is a habitual mind stuff reaction when we don't get paid attention to. What do? Does that cause you to eat more? Does that cause you to fire back at the person, push back at the person, attack the person? Does that cause you to check out, space out, go into a mobile app game? Does it cause you to feel really bad about yourself and become depressed? So we don't have the training, and this is the primary usage of my book. This is the whole reason why I wrote 800 pages of my dissertation that's gotten chopped up into three books, and then that meditation book I was talking about earlier is the fourth book that are coming out starting, it seems like it's going to be mid to the end of September at this point. I had a little bit of a difficulty this past week that we're now over and moving onward. The whole point of all this labor I've been putting into this book is to provide my eyes to show a perspective from the other hemisphere that doesn't have a paradigm in science where we're focused on reason, and instead it's focused is not coming from the mind only, but how to actually work with the mind. The way our scientific tradition has been since the Age of Enlightenment, which is when really it got kicked into gear with Newton, a little bit before that with Newton, and our science became the main paradigm, and then medicine was built on that, and the way the state has been structured, our government has been structured, was also built on the principles from the Enlightenment. So our whole society is based on reason and order. And when you go travel in the East, and I provide this in my book, this contrast, you can see that, you know, the zoning is not based on order. And so we have a culture that's really reliant on reason, and it's doubly impacting us to come from our minds. We prove our worthiness, in a sense, in our society by coming from our minds and having a stronger intellect and being more reasonable and being able to create order out of chaos. So when chaos shows up, as it has been in our society the last couple of years, increasingly, what we do is we're taught to react against the chaos. That's our cultural conditioning, and we're not even aware of that. So there's a lot of instability due to the nature of 2012, and that is the year of the great shift and the year of awakening that's happening right now. But on the other side of that, as I've already said, y'all, is this incredible supportive energy. The results I'm getting in the sessions with my clients is quicker now than it was even last year. I feel it. There is so much support. The manifesting, when we desire something, and by the way, when we're lighter, the manifesting gets a lot quicker. When we come from less mind stuff and less density, the manifesting gets a lot quicker. We get to have an easier time because we're cleaner, so we're not going to necessarily create more yuckiness from yucky density where we're believing old stuck yucky stuff, and instead we're operating from a lighter, more joyous perspective. The creation ability is quicker also because it can be trusted to be in the highest good because it's coming from a cleaned, lighter consciousness and one that's still kind of stuck with a lot of heavy judgment, guilt, shame, blame like we were just describing in the last segment. So we in our tradition need more help. It's very much the reason why I'm doing the business that I'm doing now full time, moving back to the States, is to help in this time and to help loan my eyes to be a guide so that we can have the perspective that I was able to gain in the last 10 years as a meditator already for, I think I was, had been meditating already for, I don't remember right now, like 9-ish years before moving there and teaching it for a couple of years already, and then living there and studying more Buddhism and going to the monasteries and looking at the scriptures and traveling in a hemisphere that came from Buddhism as its basic philosophy / religion. It's a very, very different way of being. And so I want to lend my eyes back in, now that I'm home in our country, to help us get beyond our minds so we can tap into a lighter way of being as there's so much change and as there's so much negativity and as there's so much fear due to what's gone on in our country over the last 10 to 12 years. So that's what's happening right now. One of the tools that I would recommend in order to get lighter is clean out your closet. That's where your past is. So anywhere where you're clinging to the past, especially in this year of 2012, address it instead of avoiding it. Anywhere where you get the slightest insight, listen to it. And in anywhere where your mind is resisting, where it knows that you're sitting there and you're getting ready to eat a second pizza and open up that second pizza box, or you're just ordering it, order one. Do the exact opposite of what your mind wants. Start working with that, what can be a tyrant of a demanding mind. Stop giving it and feeding it everything that it desires. Slowly start with really small baby steps and start threading in what could be considered you're opening the window a crack to let air in. Air out all the thinking that you've been so locked down into. That can start with cleaning out a desk, throwing things out that you really don't need. And watch yourself too. Again, develop that observer from the mountaintop perspective, looking down on the smaller personality self that is the mind, as well as the labels that people give us, that we're known by our family for, that we think we are, like the example earlier, as we're a leader, so therefore we make these kinds of decisions. Observe from a mountaintop perspective as if you're a parent and you're parenting that smaller self, the little child, and see what choices the little child is making as you sift through the closets. Remnants, what are you holding on to? Is that a part of you, your identity that you don't want to let go of? Why? Why are you resisting the change? Any of these behaviors, when the mind is on lockdown and you're hitting the wall and there's something you just can't change, it's because obviously there's resistance to change. So you can ask the question, what value does remaining this way serve for me? And you can't really approach it from the same mind. As Einstein says, you know, the level of consciousness that creates a problem can't be solved from that same level of consciousness. So go to the mountaintop perspective. If you need to, go to the beach, go to the park, literally go to a mountaintop. Go where you're going to have a sense of lightness than where you are sitting in your closet, or where you're sitting at the table arguing with your partner, or where you're at the office working overtime. Get out of there. Go to where you can get a sense of lightness, whether that be on a run or on the water, or any of the examples I've just given, and ask yourself, what value am I getting from holding on to this part of myself? Well, it's so familiar. No, that's, yeah, of course it is. What else? Well, that way I don't have to make that change, leave that relationship, move to that city, go for more of myself. Being more, because that's frequently it. We stop ourselves from changing by staying in the same way of thinking. We block out those pieces of insight because we just simply don't want to be more. We don't want to give ourselves more of ourselves. We don't want to give ourselves more potential. And that is inherently the battle that we're on right now, the battlegrounds that we're on right now in our country and in the world, for that matter, is light versus dark to a degree. And are you making choices that are allowing the window to crack and there to be more space in your thinking, or are you on lockdown? Like that visual I gave you of my client with hands around her head. Let me give you another scale, y'all, so you can have a better sense. At the bottom, fear, grief, depression, despair, powerlessness. That's the lowest level of emotions and mind mood, if you will. One level up from fear, grief, depression, despair, and powerlessness. One level up is insecurity, guilt, and unworthiness. Next level up, jealousy. Next level up, hatred and rage. Now, if you look up only four levels, the bottom is fear, grief, depression, despair, powerlessness. If you go up even three levels, now you're in hatred and rage. That shows you that anger is considered lighter than depression or despair or fear. Get angry. Jumping rope, kickboxing, MMA classes, hitting a punching bag, running, anything that's going to allow you to get the adrenaline pumping, that's a great step up from just feeling like there's no hope. Even walking at a brisk pace, walking uphill, stomping is a good thing to do. Hitting pillows is another thing that you could do. Going out in a backyard if you have the space and screaming is a good thing to do. My mother actually told me that as a little girl. Okay, one level up from hatred and rage is revenge. One level up from revenge is anger. One level up from anger is discouragement. One level up from there is blame. One level up from there is worry. One level up from there is doubt. Next level up, disappointment. Next level up, overwhelmment. Next level up, frustration, irritation, impatience. Next, pessimism. Next up, boredom. Next up, contentment. Now we're making the shift. From contentment, hopefulness. From hopefulness, optimism. From optimism, positive expectation and belief. From there, enthusiasm, eagerness, happiness. From there, passion. From there, joy, knowledge, empowerment, freedom, love, appreciation, all at the top. Joy, knowledge, empowerment, freedom, love, appreciation. So whatever is going to get you out of one of those lower categories, just allow the window to crack just a little bit, to go, say, from jealousy up to worry. Okay, I'm admitting that he's going to leave me. From worry, go up to pessimism. He probably will leave me. Everybody leaves me. That's still considered a jump. From pessimism, go up to boredom. Okay, well, that's still a little bit more neutral. It's not into the negative land. So as best you can, observe with that capital O observer, your states of mind and your emotions so that you can work with them and go the next level up. The very bottom category is fear, grief, depression, despair, powerlessness. The very top, joy, knowledge, empowerment, freedom, love, appreciation. What will give you joy? Does popping popcorn give you joy because the sound brings you back to childhood, that innocence? Then pop some friggin' popcorn, man. Do whatever you need to do to get out of habit or routine. Drive a different way to work. Pick up a different something for dinner. Go to a different chain of that same restaurant you go to. Do the exact opposite as your habit tendencies want you to do. There's many, many, many tools. Many, many, many tools that I've talked about in these shows over and over again. Get one. Look into getting flower essences. Book a consult with a flower essence practitioner. Book a consult with me. Do some energy healing. I have a constant connection program on my www.healing-balance website, constant connection, and it's a way for you to restart your connection with the higher, lighter energies. It's meant to be a month long and then release, basically. It's not meant to be a repeat program. It can be, but you have to get special permission from me. I need to do some diagnostic with your system before I'll let you stay on it for more than a month because it's designed to just reignite your connection to the higher, lighter energies if you're just that stuck. www.healing-balance.com. Listen to these shows over and over again, especially where there's the kinds of clearing that you need or the healing that you need from the theta healing. We're about to go into that. Make a different choice. It's going to require, like, picture a bicep getting trained, lifting a weight. Everybody can visualize that. You've seen it. If you've never done it, you've at least seen it. And it's a bicep curl. That muscle, that bicep is getting conditioned by that repetitive action of the bicep, of the lifting from the elbow being bent, lifting the weight up to the shoulder and then back down out parallel. Where the forearm is parallel. The arm isn't going all the way down. But look at how repetitive and redundant that motion is. That's what we're talking about with habits. And we want to come out of the habits and we want to create new habits. Anything that's going to allow you to do that. And you guys, honestly, the smaller the choice, the better right now. The more subtle, we're just so not taught this either. The more subtle is the more powerful. One of my clients called me this week and gave me an update what's happened since I did some really strong theta healing for her and her partner. And the partner wasn't wanting to be more. And my client was wanting her partner to be more, earn more money, get more savvy with the marketing of her partner's business. And when I was doing the theta healing on the two of them as a couple, it was clear to me that my client's partner didn't come from a background that believed they could be amount to anything, came from a poor background, came from a background that was used to struggling and not having any education and hardly any money. And in fact, my client had met her partner while her partner was homeless, and my client rescued her partner. And I saw that basic patterning. We did theta healing to help them not fight as much, but to work through these bottom line issues. But I saw the discrepancy between where my client was at and where her partner was at, and it was just so far. It was, and my client was so attached to her partner sharing her zealousness for life and for the spiritual teachings, opening up to crystal healing and opening up to all these different things that my client does, that her partner had no interest in because her partner had no belief that she could change, had no desire to change, had no motivation to change. And so they're breaking up now. That's what's happening right now. These kinds of, you just got to get in groove with yourself. It's just not the time anymore that you're allowed to be in denial with yourself or you're allowed to live in denial. It's just going to cause more discomfort the more we go into this year and next year. Trust me on that. I remember the Mayan elder I met when I went down to Chichen Itza, the Mayan ruins in Mexico. And he is an energy healer and also has a master's in archaeology. And he was leading the group tour that we that I had gone on. And there's actually a picture of me on my Twitter account at the Chichen Itza Pyramid doing some yoga. And he, a person in the group asked him about 2012. And he said, people who are not doing anything different aren't going to notice the difference in the shift of energy in December. Implied was, but the people who are going to be able to use the upsurge of energy. So trust me, I know that if you're listening to this radio show, you're wanting something different for yourself. Choose it in the smallest choices possible. Do the exact opposite of what your mind wants to do. Come out of the habit energy. Journal if that's something you do. Talk to yourself in front of the mirror, as crazy as that might sound. I don't do that, but sing out a song, any way that's going to allow you to start to get in a dialogue with yourself, from your observer self, the higher self, the eternal self, looking at the child self in you, the little self, the personality-based self. Why are you resisting where you're resisting? Or book a session with me or somebody like me. Get some help. That's one thing my clients are saying over and over and over again when they're doing testimonials, which you can see videos of on my website, the healing-balance one. My AllisonJK.com website testimonial page is down right now. So go to the healing-balance blog and you can see the video testimonials. And they're saying about, I reached out for help. I needed help. I knew I needed help. I work with energy healers myself too. Now is the time the changes are really possible. With that, let's go ahead and do theta healing. Give me a minute here. And if you guys want to help me out, because you haven't called in, go ahead and think it, what you want help with. Let me see if I pick up on it. Creator, it is commanded, please, that you pull the belief for all the listeners now and in the future at all the levels, including resolving it at their history level. I'm afraid, yes, replacing it with I'm afraid, no. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, you download the feeling of trust and courage to all the listeners now and in the future. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, you download the knowing how to go about their day-to-day lives with trust and courage. Show me. And Creator, it is commanded you download the Creator's perspective, definition, and understanding of trust and of courage. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, you pull the belief at all the levels, resolving it at their history level. I am not enough. Yes. Replacing it with I am enough. Yes. Show me. Creator, it is commanded you download the feeling of being enough. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, you download the knowing how to go about their day-to-day lives, knowing and feeling that they're enough. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, you pull the belief at all the levels, resolving it at their history level. Creator, it is commanded you download the feeling of full vitality. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, you download the knowing how to go about their day-to-day lives with full vitality. Show me. And Creator, it is commanded you download the Creator's perspective, definition, and understanding of life force, energy, and full vitality for each of their highest and best with grace and ease. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, you pull the belief at all the levels, resolving it at their history level. I'm not worth fixing. Yes. Replacing it with I'm not worth fixing. No. Show me. Creator, it is commanded you download the feeling of being worth fixing. Show me. And Creator, it is commanded you download the knowing how to go about their day-to-day lives, feeling and knowing they're worth fixing. Show me. Creator, it is commanded you download the Creator's perspective, definition, and understanding of being worthy for their highest and best with grace and ease. Show me. Have a great weekend. Blessings.
Thank you for joining us and allowing yourself this time to expand and become more of who you're here to be. Dr. K has a range of different offerings of her vibrational upgrades at all price points, including free. So for more information, please go to www.alisonjk.com. Dr. K's first book, What If There's Nothing Wrong, is available on Amazon.com. Dr. K also has a weekly clearing and activation call that is attended by her most advanced clients and students, an important activity in keeping themselves aligned and their vibration high. We'd love to have you come and play. Om Shanti.